Hello, church. Well, today is the last in this series about the two greatest commandments that we've been following for the last few weeks, which means it's also the last time that we will be looking at this particular passage of scripture from Mark chapter 12, at least for the time being. Now, I hope that having looked at this so closely for a few Sundays now, that this particular passage of scripture is pretty much imprinted on your heart and into your mind as well. As a quick recap, in the last few weeks we've looked at how we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And today we're going to be looking at the second commandment, looking at how Jesus tells us we should love our neighbours. And as we come to this now, we're going to start in what might seem to be an unexpected place, because we're going to start today by looking at loopholes. So then, what is a loophole? Well, a loophole is what happens when a contract or a rule is written in such a way that the requirements of that contract or rule can somehow be got around. They can be ignored or evaded. Lawyers and accountants have specialists who look at the laws surrounding everyday life, things like tax laws and this sort of thing, looking for loopholes. And I remember when I was working for one of the big accountancy practices that they found a loophole in the tax laws that meant for those who could afford to pay for the advice, they could avoid most of, if not all, of the income tax which we have to pay. And there are loads of examples of this sort of thing going on, even right now. And of course, it's really easy for us to point the finger at all sorts of organisations, all sorts of individuals, all sorts of situations, and to say just how terrible doing this sort of thing is. But that's not where I want us to be focusing today. Now, the reason that I mention about loopholes is because we are human beings. And as human beings, we're always on the lookout for ways that we can get around things. Ways that we can avoid blame. Ways that we can avoid penalties. Ways that we can justify our own actions. And when you think about it, this is something that is common to all of humanity. We all do this. But today I want to make this a whole lot more personal. We as people who are committed to loving and serving God, we too have a tendency to try and find and then to use all sorts of loopholes. As an example of this, I saw something on Facebook even this last week. A fellow minister was asking if anybody had found any loopholes that would enable people to sing in church, despite the fact that the law of the land says we should not. And we're not just limited to looking for loopholes in the law of the land, but we're also pretty quick to look for spiritual loopholes too. Now, in our text for today, we find that we are challenged about one of the biggest spiritual loopholes of all. Let's read Mark chapter 12, just verses 30 to 31 today. For the last time, let's read it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Love your neighbour as yourself. Well, that seems fairly tight, fairly compact. I can't see that there can be a loophole in this, can you? Can you see any wriggle room here? Jesus is quoting in this passage a part of Leviticus 19, verse 18. Let's have a look at that. It says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord." Now, for context, Leviticus is written at a time after the Exodus. The Hebrew nation has left Egypt and will eventually wander in the desert for 40 years before they enter the promised land. And in Leviticus, God tells them how the people can live holy lives. This, if you like, is a set of instructions for holy living. And this verse makes it clear that holy living includes getting on with the people around you. You may notice the wording in Leviticus 19, verse 18, and the surrounding verses. It says, your people, your neighbour, your fellow Israelites, those who walk with God. And you know, after wandering in the desert, the people, the neighbours, the fellow Israelites, settled into the promised land. And eventually, after a few centuries, they ruled the land. More centuries passed. The land goes through many, many changes. And by the time we get to the days when Jesus is preaching, this once great nation of Israel is humbled. In the past, the Israelites had ruled the surrounding countries. Now, itself, Israel was under foreign rule. It had been conquered by the Romans. And this was nothing new either. The Romans were just the latest in a list of conquering nations, conquering peoples. The Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and now the Romans. Each time new world powers rose, so the Jews found themselves in their own land, surrounded by people from many different nations. And the more these changes happened, the more the Jews became insulated and isolated. And here is where we begin to get to the loophole. You see, the Jews didn't want to show love to all of these sort of people. People from all different nations who were surrounding them. So they came up with a workaround. A way of avoiding Leviticus 19 verse 18, love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus himself addresses this loophole in Matthew chapter 5 verses 43 to 44. He says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You have heard that it was said. Well, part of what was said was indeed scripture, the love your neighbour part. But the other part of what was said was the Pharisees and rabbis giving their interpretation of this scripture from Leviticus. This is the hate your enemy part. The explanation of how they arrived at this goes something like this. Well, first of all, you need to imagine that I'm a rabbi. I know. Here is the sort of thing I might say. God's word says, love your neighbour. But who is your neighbour? Well, the Lord doesn't leave us in the dark about this. Leviticus 19 tells us not to spread slander among our people. But it doesn't say anything about slandering Gentiles. The Torah says, don't hate your fellow Israelites. But it says nothing about hating these Romans. Scripture is clear. You can't bear a grudge against your people. But you can carry as big a grudge as you like against the Samaritan and other Gentiles. In fact, when you think about it, love your neighbour must mean we should do the opposite for everyone else. So then, to love your neighbour must mean to hate your enemy. In that case, everyone who is not a Jew can and should be considered an enemy. That's how it worked. This was the loophole. Do you see how they used this perceived ambiguity of scripture to avoid living a life of holiness and obedience? Finding loopholes is such an inbuilt habit that Jesus didn't just preach about it on just one occasion. If you've heard or seen the rest of this series, you'll know that conversations about the greatest commandment take place in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels. When it happens in Luke, it isn't Jesus who answers, it's a teacher of the law. This is the conversation, starting in verse 27. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" He wanted to justify himself, it says. Now, what is self-justification? Well, when you think about it, it's about making excuses. It's about trying to pardon yourself, excuse yourself, getting yourself off the hook. Indeed, it's another way of saying he wanted a loophole. In the next verse in Luke, Jesus begins to tell a parable. A parable that we often refer to as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, the main point of this particular parable is that we need to be those who have the Jesus character, the Jesus shape, of being willing to show compassion and pity no matter who is in need. In this parable, Jesus avoids any sort of loophole that seeks to allow me to define someone as a non-neighbour. It shows us a new way of being, a right way of being, a Jesus-shaped way of acting. Rather than finding a loophole, I stop trying to justify myself by asking, "Who is my neighbour?" And indeed, I start doing the opposite. I keep asking this question: how can I be a neighbour? No loopholes. Do you see the difference? Now, why am I taking so much time to stress this point? Well, let's go back to Mark chapter 12, verse 31. The second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Jesus himself tells us that loving God and loving your neighbour are the greatest commandment of all. Jesus is saying, stop wriggling, stop justifying, and do as I command you. In Mark chapter 12, after Jesus answers the question about the greatest commandment, the conversation continues. Verse 32, "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." You see, even this teacher of the law has a similar interpretation as Jesus. He sees that these two commandments are more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Loving God and your neighbour go far beyond external actions and visible duties. And for us, these are commands which need serious spiritual attention. In Matthew 22, the extreme importance of the commands is expressed by Jesus in this way. "And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." How does this work? Let me explain it like this. Take every part of the Old Testament, and you can base every commandment that is spoken about in the Old Testament on these two commands: love God and love your neighbour. Take every part of the New Testament too, and the same is still true. If you go back to the foundation of any command, of any attitude or any calling, if you go right back, you will find that it will either be based on the command to love God or to love your neighbour. So then, What this means is that loving your neighbour as you love yourself is no less important than loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now do you see the gravity of this? Hear this, folks, please. We've read these commands, we've unpacked and explored them. Now God says, live them. You see, as we start to love God with all that we are, as we begin to live in this, we will pay no less attention to the second commandment, to love our neighbours as ourselves. They flow together. Love God, love our neighbours. So let's have a look at Scripture and see how this works in practice. Romans 13, verses 8 to 10 says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. Do you see the way Paul gathers different commandments and shows that they are based on one commandment? To love God, two commandments. To love God and to love others. In Galatians 5, 13 to 15, Paul goes on to say, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Not indulging the flesh. Not biting and devouring one another. These are based on the command to love your neighbour. Then in the same context, Paul keeps going. Some acts of the flesh include impurity, hatred, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, envy, drunkenness. There's also the call to live the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things are all based on loving our neighbour. There's one more example I really want us to have a look at. James chapter 2, verses 8 to 9, which says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin. Can you see how this works? All of the one another passages in Scripture are all based on this command to love your neighbour. Do you know, most of the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is also based on this command. The Beatitudes. When you begin to ponder this command, when you begin to unpack it for yourself, you'll begin to see that loving our neighbour is a really big task. You see, there's an awful lot of people around us who seem to be unlovable. There's an awful lot of people around us that it's really difficult to love. But what we're being faced with here is a commandment that is going to touch every single aspect of our lives. And we might look at this commandment and say, how is it even possible? And that's a great question. Because, of course, humanly speaking, it isn't possible. It's only possible when we are in Christ Jesus. We can't do it on our own. loving our neighbour as ourselves, will only flow out of a deep commitment to Jesus as we trust him as our Lord and as our Saviour. But more than that too, loving our neighbour as ourselves requires a life that will express itself in obedience to God. A life where we are continually turning from our old ways to a new way of living. A life where we are continually being transformed by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, because we are continually in Christ Jesus. A life of prayer, where we're not just asking, but where we are also willing to listen. A life that is becoming ever more Jesus-shaped. Do you see it? Love God. Love your neighbours. The two greatest commandments. Is this going to be a challenge? 100% it is. This is the greatest challenge we're ever going to face. Because actually, as we begin to love our neighbours as ourselves, it means we stop looking at others and judging. It means we stop looking for justification for our own actions and start loving others. So the question for today is this. Are we going to accept the full significance of this commandment of Jesus? And are we going to live it? Out of the grace of Jesus within us, are we going to live lives of obedience? Or are we going to continue to try and find a way to get around the significance of these commands, of this command to love your neighbour as yourself, by trying to find loopholes? Perhaps this is something that we should think about over the coming days. Perhaps we could all think about which commands we might have ignored. And as a consequence, we haven't loved others as we really should do. And let's remember that this is the command of Jesus himself. Love your neighbours as yourself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have met with us here this morning, today, as we have examined your word. And Father, as over the last few weeks we've heard of how we should love you with all that we are, in every aspect of who we are, in every aspect of our lives. Lord, help us. Help us to love you more. And Father, this second command, which seems so difficult, which is so difficult for us, Father, in your grace, in the grace that we see displayed in Jesus, would you help us to love our neighbour as ourselves? And in that, Lord, would you help us to become Jesus-shaped people? For in his name we pray. Our service ends here this morning. But never forget that it's as we go into the world, it's as we go into social media, it's as we go into any form of video link up, and all of these things, that we are called to love God with all of that we are and to love our neighbours as ourselves. Here is God's word for today. God bless you all.